is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is out today. And now we're going to take a look at how digital services are changing everything from education to taxation. First, taxation. You've heard of the cloud. It's that vast network of remote computers where you can store data, documents, music, and the like. More importantly, it's also where an increasing number of actual applications live. Google Docs, Dropbox, and Microsoft Office 365, just to name a few. But here's the thing. In Massachusetts, if you buy a regular piece of software for use on your home hard drive, you have to pay sales tax. Buy access to similar software in the cloud, and it's tax-free. That's according to a recent decision by the state's Department of Revenue. Joining us now with more is Kelly Miller, tax attorney for the law firm Reed Smith, based in Philadelphia, and contributor to the Taxing Tech blog. Kelly Miller, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Good to be with you.
So lay this out for us. What exactly is the new Massachusetts ruling, and why is it that they say cloud-based services can't be taxed?
Well, the Massachusetts ruling is very interesting. The ruling was published today, although it was released last month, and it tells us three major things about cloud computing in the state of Massachusetts, and sets a really neat paradigm, I think, for looking at cloud throughout the country. First, states like Massachusetts are certainly getting wiser to the cloud as a source of revenue. Even my 74-year-old mother, who has a smartphone, knows what the cloud is. Everyone knows the cloud is something they can use to access their data, to store their data, to purchase data. The second major emphasis of the ruling is that now state revenue departments, everybody from the governor to the lowliest legislator searching for revenue, is looking at what is the consumer purchasing when they're purchasing a cloud computing service. And they're looking at the essence of that transaction to try to really cast it in the light of traditional computing. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, it was not so long ago that when we purchased software, Microsoft Office, I think, is an example that you raised with the new Microsoft 365 product, we would go to a brick and mortar store and we would buy a disk. I remember when it was a 3.5-inch floppy disk, a CD-ROM. Now we buy a code in that box oftentimes. In the next 5 to 10 years, the box of software, if it hasn't already, will simply become obsolete. And so what states are really looking to is they're looking to what has the cloud replaced. And in many cases, the cloud transaction has replaced that physical transaction,
and
buying
a box of software. Yet, mm-hmm. Nevertheless, we've just got about a minute and a half here to go.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, there is a transaction that has taken place.
There
money
is.
Has changed
yeah.
hands, and yet
That's
the state
right.
of Massachusetts and others, if I understand correctly,
yep.
have chosen to consider this transaction one that they can't apply a sales tax to. Why?
Well, this is the very important takeaway for consumers today from this ruling. If you are purchasing a service that is akin to Microsoft Office, where you're using software, Massachusetts says that transaction is just like buying the software in a box and it's taxable. But however, and this is the big but, if you are purchasing cloud computing where you are storing data, you're transferring data, or you're accessing data, think about that whole library of CDs that you put into iTunes at home and pay Apple $24 a year to store, that is not taxable. So that's the real takeaway for consumers in Massachusetts today, is that we're seeing the state look more and more to cloud to tax to get revenue, but there are going to be some transactions that are still not taxable in the state.
So what does this mean for a state like Massachusetts overall, where inevitably we are going to be seeing technology move into the cloud? I mean, as you were saying,
yeah.
it just seems like by tomorrow, practically, metaphorically speaking, mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's going to be living on our hard drives.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the way that business is moving. Businesses simply don't want to spend the money and the infrastructure of hardware and software. And so what do? They purchase devices for their employees and then host applications or software in the cloud using Google, using Amazon even, which is a huge host of software for businesses. And then they allow their employees to access that software. What it's going to mean for software developers is really interesting, because if you are hosting open source software that anyone could use for free, Well, that really is more of buying a service, something that's, you know, free, it's access to something that's open source that anyone can really get it themselves individually. Mm-hmm. But if you are selling, you know, access to Microsoft Word or Access or some type of software that's proprietary, that's going to be used by your business, well, that transaction is going to be taxed like you were buying in a box. If you're taxing storage, you know, now that's not a taxable service. Services, generally speaking, historically, were not taxable. So we're going to see states really expanding that tax base to meet the technology. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 10 to 15 years, but I suspect that as states lose traditional sources of revenue, they're going to start taxing our data storage, our retrieval storage. And so don't expect that $24.99 that you would pay per year to store all of your CDs and iTunes to be non-taxable in the future.
Kelly Miller is a tax attorney for the Philadelphia-based law firm Reed Smith and a contributor to the Taxing Tech blog. Thanks so much, Kelly Miller.
Thank you.